So please bear with me tonight. It should be relatively short, I hope. I'm not Brian McCobb. That's who was supposed to be up here speaking tonight, but he was not able to make it in from where he's having a conference, so he'll be with us next week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark 14, 32 through 36. I'm going to speak out of that tonight. I'm going to try to do my own PowerPoint. Hey, it works. All right. So, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." This week, I had an opportunity to speak with a family who are going through a tough time. And as we're doing this counseling, it came up that there seemed to be a lack of prayer. I said, "Let me pray for you. Let's pray." And I noticed every time I said that, there was a tension. So I asked this person a question I'm going to ask you. Do you believe that prayer really works? Yes, I do. In James 5:16, it says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now here in our text, we find Jesus within the garden during a time where he's faced with the prospect of betrayal, humiliation, torture, and ultimately even death. As he talked to his Heavenly Father from the anguish and distress of his heart, Jesus gives us four ways that we can approach prayer, and we should use today when we talk with God. The first thing we see in Jesus' prayer is the intimacy he had with the Father. So we need to pray with intimacy to the Father. For many people today, God is considered to be some kind of unapproachable, distant, majestic power. But Jesus began his prayer with a term that usually is the very first words uttered by a Hebrew child. Abba, Father, Dada, when learning how to speak. Notice how Jesus addressed God as Abba, Father, very intimate, very personal. So when we talk to God, we need to approach him with the intimacy of a child calling for their father. In Galatians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Romans 8, 15 through 17, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." God is our Heavenly Father. I was watching a movie the other night, and in the movie was a picture that I remember from my history books when I was a little kid. It's a picture of President John F. Kennedy. It's taken as he's sitting in the Oval Office. He's surrounded by government officials, and his son, John Jr., is underneath the desk sitting there. Some of you who are my age or older might remember that. Okay. You little kids will like, "Who's John F. Kennedy?" Okay, we'll explain that later. But he was president of the United States, and John F. Kennedy was one of the most powerful, important men in the world, yet because of his intimate relationship with his son, he didn't mind being interrupted even in the middle of national or even international business. As children of God, we have the most powerful and important father of all. He's not only concerned with our lives, but with the life of every individual. And the boundaries of his concern are not limited to just one country, but extend to every corner of the universe. Yet because of the intimate relationship that we share with him, he never tells us to wait, or call me back later, or make an appointment. He never tells us this. We can speak to him at any time and in any place. The phrase, Abba, Father, not only shows us the intimacy in Jesus' prayer, but also the simplicity of his prayer. Oftentimes when people pray to God, they use a never-ending supply of complicated, confusing, and colorful terms to where you no longer know what they're praying about. Last week, Dr. Lofquist was here, and he talked about the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody couldn't stand long prayers in public. Couldn't stand him. He was a simple man. In one of his meetings, he called on one of his brothers to pray who proceeded to give a long theological dissertation on the Almighty. When Moody realized that no end was in sight of this prayer, he suddenly said, "While the brother is finishing his prayer, let us sing song number 75. I dare you. I dare you to do that with Pastor. At almost that exact moment, a visitor who became bored with the prayer that was being said, who lost interest, grabbed his hat and was ready to leave. But when he heard Moody switch from the prayer to the song, he decided to stay for the remainder of the service. That man's name was William Grenfell. For those of you who are historians may know who that is. He afterwards became converted and became a famous medical missionary to Newfoundland and Labrador. When Jesus prayed, he talked to God intimately and with simplicity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 7 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." The second thing that we see in Jesus' prayer shows us how we should talk to God is the faith he exemplified. So we need to pray with faith to the Father. Matthew 19:26 says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So do we believe that all things are possible with God? We'd like to think so, right? Faith in God's ability and willingness to answer our prayers is the key ingredient to talking with our Heavenly Father. Many of us believe or have faith that God is able to answer our prayers, but do we believe that He is going to answer our prayers? There is a vast difference between those two things. As one of the first explorers of Africa, David Livingston loved his people and longed to see them evangelized. His journals reveal his spiritual concern and deep faith. In late March 1872, he wrote, "He will keep His word, the gracious one, full of grace and truth, no doubt of it. He said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will give it. He will keep His word. Then I can come and humbly present my petition, and it will be all right. Doubt is here inadmissible, surely." Livingston had a rock-like confidence in his Heavenly Father's promises. And praying, we too can exercise the trust that God will not deny a request when they are keeping with His will. I'm going to repeat that. When they are keeping with His will. Let me ask you a question. When you think about prayer, are we reading His words so we know what His will is? It's a two-way street. We can defeat doubt when we remind ourselves that no matter what happens in life, He cares deeply about us and longs to give us wisdom to handle what comes our way. We find that in 1 Peter 5 and James 1. Our faith will grow stronger as we realize that our Heavenly Father is gracious, delighting in giving good gifts to His children. We find that in Matthew 7. Humbly but confidently, we can come to Him with our request. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So pray with faith that your Heavenly Father will answer prayers. The third thing found in Jesus' prayer that shows us how we should talk with our Father is exemplified in His boldness. Pray with boldness to the Father. Jesus said, "Remove this cup from me." The word "remove" in the Greek language indicates that this was a command made by Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Have you ever found it tough to pray? I know I have. That can happen when we're reluctant to tell God how we're really feeling. How many times have you known you had to pray for someone that has wronged you, and you really don't want to? You can't find the words to do it. You make an excuse as to why not. You should pray for this person or people. You might stop abruptly in mid-sentence, fearful of being disrespectful to the Heavenly Father, but by not telling Him what's on your heart, you're not trusting Him. A trip through the book of Psalms can help us pray more openly. There we can overhear David's conversations with God and realize that he was not afraid to be completely open and honest with the Lord. David cried out, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger," in Psalm 6:1. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak," in Psalm 6:2. "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord?" in Psalm 10:1. Do not be silent to me. In Psalm 28:1. Plead my cause, O Lord. In Psalm 35:1. Hear my prayer, O God. In Psalms 54:2. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. In Psalm 55:2. How many of us are that bold when talking to our Heavenly Father? Think about David's approach. He was saying, God, help me. Listen to me. Don't be mad at me. Where are you? David boldly went to God and told him what was on his mind. Yes, God expects us to come to him with a clean heart, and we need to approach him with reverence, but we don't have to be afraid to tell God what we're thinking and feeling. Next time you talk with your Heavenly Father, tell it straight. He'll listen and he'll certainly understand. He created you. Ephesians 3:11 through 12, it says, in our Christ Jesus, our Lord, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. As children of God, when we talk with our Father, we can be bold or confident. This doesn't mean, however, that God is obligated to grant all of our requests. This is what confuses people sometimes or makes people upset or makes them stop praying. After all, you got to remember, he's still God. He still knows what's best for us and may deny our request. I tell people all the time that God does answer every prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. Even though Jesus boldly and confidently made this request, it was still not granted. This was his son. He said, you are the Lord of the universe. Can you make this happen some other way? The cup was not removed. Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of mankind that we might be saved from an eternity in hell. I'm thinking I liked God's plan better than what we humanly might think of. His will is much better than ours. The last words in Jesus' prayer reveal to us the final key in talking with our Father, to pray with submission to the Father. Jesus said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. These words reveal that these are submission that Jesus had to the will of God. While Jesus made this request boldly, he humbly submitted to his Father's will. You may have heard the saying, our small things are great to God's love, our great things are small to his power. It's very true. There is nothing in our lives so small that God isn't concerned about it. No need, no desire, no emotion, no hurt, no burden. Likewise, no problem or crisis is so big that it baffles God's wisdom and power. And because he cares for us, we're invited to tell him about any and all of our concerns. So why don't we? Why do we hesitate? Why don't we bring every little thing to our Lord, our Heavenly Father, in prayer? Now, does that mean that we can ask God for anything and expect to receive it? For example, does that mean a Christian on a sports team has the right to pray to God for victory in that game that day and then expect God to intervene directly to help his team win? No, no, no. What if somebody on the other team prays the same thing for their team? That may not be what God's will is that day. Faith in our Savior and praying in his name are surely praiseworthy. But let's be sure we're asking for something in line with what we know God would want. Not our own selfish desires, but what God's plan is for us. It is possible to cross the line from trustful dependence to superstitious selfishness. And we want to avoid that. Biblical faith is controlled by submission to God's will. So every petition must be offered in a way that reflects the attitude of Jesus, who said to his Father, not as I will, but as you will. 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have asked of him. When we talk to our Heavenly Father, there are four things we need to remember. He is there. First of all, he wants to hear from you. God isn't some distant being that's cold and impersonal. He sent his son to die on the cross for us, so we may have a relationship with him. He wants to hear from you. The only way he's going to hear from you is if you pray to him. The only way you're going to know what his will for you is to read his Bible. Because that's how God talks to us, is in the Bible. And how we talk to God is through prayer. So when we talk to our Heavenly Father, we should do it intimately, yet simply. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out prayer. I work with children a lot, and I'll have some kids that want to pray, and then they get upset because, Oh, all I did was say, "Dear Jesus, please help me." That's great, I tell them. But they're like, "Yeah, but I want to pray like these guys that pray with these big fancy words." And it's like, you don't need that. Because that's not you. God knows who you are. He knows you inside and out. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your heart and your mind. Be yourself and talk to Him. Intimately, yet simply. Talk to Him in faith. Trust that He is able to do anything according to His will. Is it His will for you to be a multimillionaire and live on a tropical island? Maybe not. But you need to accept that. Maybe your lot in life is to be that guy that's working in that low-level job. Maybe that's where God placed you, to be a witness for Him. Maybe that's a mission field for you. In faith, with boldness, don't be afraid to tell God what is on your mind. I mean, He already knows. He already knows what's going on in your life. But He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to have that relationship. And yet be willing to submit ourselves to His will, accepting His answer to our prayers. That's hard. When you pray for weeks that a loved one survives the cancer that he has and then passes away. It's not what we wanted, but God had some plan for that. It's not His will when you have a relative or a loved one, for me, a little brother, who died suddenly in a car accident. What purpose could that possibly have? Back then, 17 years ago, it didn't make sense to me. It does now. I see the lives that have been changed. I see one person who became saved because of it. There is a reason for everything that happens. God wants you to be a part of Him, and He wants, and vice versa, wants you to be a part of Him, wants you to be a part of His life. You get that? Open your Bible. Read your Bible, find out what God's will is for you. Pray to Him, because that's you talking to God. This was a short and simple message tonight. You'll get out of here at a pretty decent time unless I keep rambling. Pastor told me this is where I can bring up anecdotes and stuff like that and talk about things in my own life. I'm not going to do that. When counseling this individual, I was surprised because it was a believer. And he said, I don't pray to God that much anymore. And I'm like, well, why? Don't you believe that He has the power, that He is big enough to take care of your issues? He's like, well, yes, but the last time I went through troubles, I didn't like His answers. So I told him that, hey, I just found out I got to speak on Sunday night. I'm going to speak about this. God wants to hear from you in faith, with boldness, but simple. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you're sitting out here and you're a believer, you already have a relationship with Him. That's sort of like entering into a marriage, and you get home on your first day of marriage, and you're like, see ya, and you go lock yourself in another part of the room if you're not praying. If you have made that transaction, that agreement, that covenant, you started that relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to keep going with it. Any relationship needs communication, good or bad. You don't have to pray just when things are really, really, really bad or when things are really, really good. He wants to hear about everything in between. Read your Bible. Know what God plans for your life. Pray. Let God know that you're accepting what He planned for your life. Now, if you're not saved, if you don't have this relationship, well, that's pretty simple. You ask, what are we talking about? Well, what we're talking about is what you just heard me talk about. It's a relationship. Is it a commitment? Yes. Well, does it mean I have to stop doing all the things that I like to do? Does it mean that? No. Would God like that? Yes, especially if they're bad things. But like with any commitment, any relationship, you have to make changes. I talked to the children here at the church, and I asked them about, especially with their parents, I'll ask them about, do you remember the time you learned how to walk? Most of them don't remember that. I asked the parents, do you remember teaching your kids how to walk? Anyone here, parents, they remember teaching your kids to walk? Thank you, my wife. Thank you. Thank you for raising your mom's hand. Do you remember teaching them how to talk? For me, it was a contest. I had to make sure my children said da-da before they said mama. Okay, supposedly it's easier for him to say those syllables than it is mama. So I was very excited by that. Do you remember the day that you taught your children how to lie or be disobedient? Yeah, I don't think that's in any of the handbooks. But that's what sin is. From the fall of man, from what Adam and Eve did so long ago, we are born with that kind of want to do wrong. So if you don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ, the first thing you need to do is admit, I do wrong things. And if you're sitting here tonight and you haven't made this relationship come true, look around at these people. These aren't a bunch of people sitting with us that are, hey, look at me, I'm shiny, I'm happy, I'm a Christian, and everything's going right. We're sitting in a room of a bunch of people who are admitted sinners, admitted wrongdoers, people who know they are messed up and screwed up, but we're willing to admit it. And the next thing you do is you learn. You read your Bible, you go to church, and you learn about Jesus, and you realize that He was real. He is real. That He died for our sins on the cross at Calvary. He was put into the tomb and rose again on the third day. He didn't die again. He went up into heaven. And He's there right now, making a case for each and every one of us, good or bad. And He wants that relationship with you. And all you have to do is pray and tell Him, I am a sinner. I know I've done wrong, and I do believe, Jesus, in You, and that you're making intercession for me right now. And I want You to be part of my life. So why don't we pray right now? Everyone bow their heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to come together as a group of believers, as a family, Lord, to worship You. We are so thankful for the freedom that we have in this country to do so, Lord, where in other places it's illegal, where we could be executed and persecuted for it. Lord, we ask people, open up their hearts and minds to You, Lord, to the relationship that You want to have with them. And for the ones that have not made this decision yet, Lord, I ask that You knock on their hearts, Lord. Have them open that door and admit to You, I'm a sinner, and I believe upon You, Lord, and please come be part of my life. And for those that are here, Lord, that are believers, I ask that You lay upon them encouragement to talk to You, to pray, and faith and simplicity with boldness, Lord. As our Heavenly Father, we ask this in Your precious name. Amen.